December 28, 2022. It's a Watch for Pedro show.
Africa. If I were a hospice worker, I would enter the room where you were laying. I would remove the flies from your eyes. Africa. If I were a hospice worker, I would enter the room where you were laying. I would remove the flies from your eyes. I would sleep with you day and night. I would wash your hot face with cool cloths. I would spoon feed you up, cradling your skeletal head. I would empty your spoils. I would press you clean fresh water. You would avoid bed sores because I would turn you over and constantly change your
show. Happy Wednesday.
Right.
Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. David Murray. We started with John Coltrane. doing Ugundi.
I think this is the last recording ever of John Coltrane. April of 1967, yeah.
Oh.
Sure. You know, like Franz Kafka, Edgar Allan Poe, 40 years old. Yeah, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, that's,
but that's true. I have to say, he made a lot of music, though, in those years he was given. Yeah, but so short, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I remember when I was 40.
And then we had your song,
long time ago.
Your song Africa?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, beautiful. So, please, bring me your earliest musical recollection, your memory.
Of my earliest musical recollection?
Hi. See.
Well, my earliest musical recollections are usually my mother playing the piano in the hallway, or when I was a little boy, she was learning to play the Hammond organ and work the foot pedals. And so I was kind of small, so I remember going to church with her in the afternoons, and she's practicing. She already played piano pretty well.
But the foot is the bass, right?
Yeah, the foot pedals were the bass of the Hammond organ. So she was working on her foot pedals. She would practice them in the afternoons. And I wasn't in school yet, I remember. So I had to go with her. And I remember playing games with her in between her legs, trying to hit the pedal before she reached them, making a game out of it. And she didn't mind. She was just, I don't know. I was probably 3 or 4. I don't know.
Who was that cat? Jimmy Smith.
Oh, yeah.
He, socks. He wouldn't wear shoes. And this cat I play with, Mike Baguette, told me he saw a gig. And Jimmy Smith thought these people were looking at his feet. He had a way of doing bass. He didn't want people copying. You know about that. You know Robert Johnson, too, right? Turn around so they couldn't see the hands.
Yeah, well, I mean, most organ players, they take off their shoes when they play.
Is that right? Okay.
My mom take off her shoes.
Okay. Now, what about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was always in some kind of a school organization. You have to remember that, you know, my mother was the director of the music at the Missionary Church of God Christ.
Yes.
And so I grew up in the band. I grew up into the band.
Wow.
She played piano, and I started studying piano when I was about 5, and she sent me down
the street. Did she teach you?
Yes, she did.
Because, usually I have guests on the show.
And then she sent me down the street to Mrs. Kennan, who lived a few blocks away, who was a piano teacher of the neighborhood, and her son played the organ. And so she was sent to stuff like St. Louis Blues and that kind of stuff. Although, you know, my mother's teachings were mostly gospel music.
Sure.
But hers were more into the blues and different things. And
I've had guests on the show, and some of the worst experiences made them almost want to quit music was the piano teacher.
No, hitting them on the
yeah,
back of
yeah, head. Right. Just horrible experiences,
yeah,
right?
No, we didn't have
but this lady was great, right?
No, my lady was fantastic. Mrs. Kennan, she was.
Yeah.
She lived to be in her 90s. She was a great piano teacher. She taught many others before me.
Sure.
In Berkeley, talk about Berkeley, California.
Berkeley. Okay. NorCal. So, what was the first record you bought with your own money? Oh, shit. So, first record you bought with your own money?
please.
Let's see. I think, well, let me clarify, because I joined the Columbia Record Club when I
was.
Oh,
so did I.
Yeah, so I
was dying, right?
But I mean, but if you ask me what was my first jazz album that I bought, I think it was Coleman Hawkins and Ben Webster.
Hawk.
Blue Saxophones.
Ben Webster. Yeah, great.
Called Blue Saxophone.
No, I great cat.
You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To, Rosita's Dancer.
Yeah.
Do dee da, do dee da.
And what was the first gig you went and saw, David?
You mean jazz gig?
No, any gig. Music.
Oh, I don't know.
No, your first one.
I'd have to go play in church every 3 nights a week.
That was your first gigs, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I remember when I got my saxophone, the first day I got my saxophone, I was nine. I got my saxophone, I brought it to church that night. Because my brother was already playing trumpet, and my brother was playing clarinet, my cousin Eddie was playing trumpet.
Yeah.
And my mom was playing guitar, and my mom was playing piano, and my father was playing guitar, so.
Musical family.
They were just waiting for me to get a saxophone.
Yeah. And what, alto?
So I played it the same night that I first got it.
Alto?
I remember the preacher
tenor?
Said, like, I remember, it was alto.
Okay.
I remember the preacher, Reverend Daniel, said something like, "Oh, your young David, he sounds pretty spirited tonight. He just got a new saxophone, And he said I sounded spirited. I didn't even know how to play. I was just playing notes on it. I didn't even know the notes. I was just blowing it. A couple of weeks, they really didn't notice. I kind of fit in. I kind of blended in after a couple of weeks. I probably was playing avant-garde then, but I didn't even know it.
Right. Here, I want to play, what's this?
Syriana Promethea?
Syriana Promethea, yeah. Great.
Yeah, Syriana Promethea is the cousin of my wife. That she lives in Arche, Italy. And she eats fire and she twirls fire. Her name is Syriana. So I call the album. We did a little concert together at the house.
Uh-huh.
Me on saxophone and a bass, and her twirling fire. And she has two other friends that twirl fire and spit fire. And I was thinking if we could continue, we could. Well, all we needed was a couple of dragons, and I have a fire rhythm section.
Okay, let's listen. Let's listen.
Thank you.
office worker. I went into the room where you were laying. I would remove the flies from your eyes. Africa, if I were a hospice worker. I went into the room where you were laying. I would remove the flies from your eyes. I would sleep with you day and night. I would wash your hot face with cool cloth. I would spoon feed you while cradling your skeletal head. I would empty your spoils. I would breastfeed clean fresh water. You would avoid bed sores because I would turn you over and constantly change your sheets.
December 28, 2022. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Red summer, the year is 2015. Nine Christians were shot by a man with a scheme. A stranger who came with a mind full of bile. A mother played dead in the blood of a child. Red summer, red summer, red summer. A child was shot down with a toy gun in his hand. The police asked questions, but nobody was blamed. The man was shot as though he were game. The demons are running with their buddies. The fiends, red summer, the year is 2015. When Dorothy got the news that both wife and child were dead, that's how it feels in the city of Spirit was his guide when he wrote that great song. But who is the God who will take a hand, who will lead us home? From drowning in streams. Don't you get weary, Martin said when he spoke of his dream. His words, they have kept us from drowning. Thank you.
Watford Pedro show, we heard Red Summer. And you call this band here the David Murray Quartet.
Yeah, I think that's the quartet.
Yeah. And then we heard...
But with the singer. With the singer.
And, yeah, right. And then we heard All That I Are from Midwest Medicine. And then Francesca.
All the things, I mean, All the Things You Are, maybe.
Francesca, well, yeah, I don't know. These guys, their main band, I remember I played with them, shared the stage with them. And then Francesca, David Murray.
Yeah.
Octet Revival.
Yeah, that album is almost released. It'll be released within a few days from now.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, right. And Francesca is one of the songs that I wrote for my wife, in fact. Francesca Cinelli Murray. And, yes, I wrote that song for her. It's called Francesca.
Yeah. Beautiful. And,
it's to see her.
So, I'm not talking like graduated high from school, but like in the afternoon, did you do the garage band, the basement, bedroom band, you know, basement? You know what I'm saying? I know you played in church and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
I've been in many bands, garage bands. And I couldn't wait to be out of the garage band.
Okay.
I did that. We had a band called the Notations of Soul.
Yeah.
We had a band in One Piece. There was a band called Mixed Company.
Yeah.
All in the Bay Area. Yeah, I did a lot. I played with a lot of bands. We played in front of groups called like the Mnemonics and, you know.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I played in every kind of situation in the Bay Area. And we played in L.A.
Really?
Oh, I had been. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we played at the, I played the Chitlin' Circuits and all that. Yeah. I did all that growing up, and I just couldn't really wait to be in front of a band, a jazz band of my own, and not be behind some singers, bad singers.
Oh, you mean
around.
Like a side man?
Yeah, you know, being in the horn section.
Yeah.
I just couldn't wait to get away from that. To me, that was just a terrible musical experience. I know it was gaining experience, but
yeah.
I really was so happy to be away from R&B and blues and all that kind. I wanted to be a jazz musician. I wanted to be in front of my own quartet.
But don't you think blues is a big part of jazz?
Yeah, it is, but I got to...
When
I
hear John Coltrane...
I'm not tired of playing the Esther Zorbit Room and the New Roots.
No, I understand the genre stuff. Yeah, yeah. But when I hear John Coltrane, I hear blues. Cousin Mary...
Yeah, we all play... Blues is part of jazz, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I hate the blues itself. I just hated playing in those joints.
Yeah, right. Racket, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we make barely any money.
So when you got your own band, like you said, what you enjoyed was having your own band.
Sure. I couldn't wait to get to New York and get my own band.
Yeah. But also kind of scary.
You know, when I came to New York,
yeah.
I came to New York on independent study from Pomona College. And I was doing, I came to New York, you know, I was doing the history of the saxophone since 1958. And, you know, it was all happening in front of me. I was writing my reports on, for my second semester of my sophomore year. And Loft Jazz was happening in front of me, and I did an interview with Dewey Redman once. He said, "Man, put down that and pick up the saxophone." Of course, I had the saxophone all the time, but in other words, I at that point I just really knew that I wasn't going to go back to college. What I was going to do, I wasn't going to go back and give my report. Even I was just going to I was just going to do what they're doing in loft jazz, and that's what I did, and I became one of the main influences in loft jazz by doing that. I was everywhere. I was everywhere trying to play with everyone, and I was well prepared. You know, I had what it took to. The only thing was I went through the door of the avant-garde, but then I was playing other gigs uptown, and I was playing every gig that came to me, standards, whatever, you know, because I was prepared, because I had been through big band training. I had studied in church music. I had studied all kinds of music, blues. Yeah. So I think I knew a little more than the average avant-garde guys that were doing loft jazz. I mean, I knew a little bit more of my horn than they did. So I was able to excel quickly, and I found out how to play loud. And I had a big sound, and you know, and then I started making records, and the next thing I know, 40 years have gone by.
40 years, yeah. I just turned 65. It's a trip about time. You cannot.
Yeah, I'll be 68 in a few weeks.
Okay. So we know. Yeah, we know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Maybe you playing with those R&B bands helped. It's all, you know what I mean? All investment in the next day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I used to have to back up people like Tyrone Davis and, you know, like that. You know,
I remember Tyrone Davis.
Yes, come to town. You know, you play by them. You'd be in a band. I'd ask you to organize the horn section. You know, I play with a lot of people, all the Bay Area. They all know me.
I want to play All the Things.
You Are.
Great too. Let's listen.
Yeah. Yeah, Don Pullen.
Thank you. I've got the political blues. The country's in another war. I've got the political blues. Homeless is knocking on my front door. Wanna drive to Florida and Ohio and find out how they cheated Harry and Gore. I've got the political blues. Stuck with Bush, Cheney, and Rice. Got the political blues. Republican Party's not very nice. Gonna take the metro line down to Washington and give them good advice. Keep your politics to yourself and leave the brown countries alone. Keep your politics to yourself, leave the third world alone. And while you're at it, hit up on your cell phone and warn about your own. I've got the ball in the blue.
Bam and Blood. And when we did this record, we did, kind of changed the, we used standard format to take it all the way out. Got a lot of criticism about it, but I got a lot of positive accolades about it too. So I wasn't sure if everybody liked it or they disliked it, but we certainly destroyed that song.
Yeah. And what about saxophone players you respect?
Oh, saxophone players. Well, I heard Sonny Rollins play when I somehow he played at the Berkeley Jazz Festival. I don't know if his band didn't show up, but he was there by himself. And I heard him play. I don't know. I must have been 13, 14. I don't know. And I just received my wife and her daughter. They gave me as a Christmas present this new book by Levy about Sonny Rollins.
Yeah.
There's a few quotes of me in there, Sonny Rollins, and they talk about where I spoke of hearing Sonny Rollins when I was 14. And then the day I told my dad that I had to get a tenor because I was making it. But Sonny Rollins had a tenor, and so many.
Yeah. John Coltrane went from alto to, I think that was Clean Head Vincent.
Yeah, but I'm talking
about... He asked him to switch, right?
Yeah, well, he didn't ask me. I asked my father.
Okay.
And then we went to the credit union and got a tenor the next day. But it was Sonny Rollins who inspired me to play the tenor.
No, Sonny Rollins, great cat.
But I didn't know Sonny Rollins at the time. I didn't meet him until I came to New York.
I saw him in New York. The bottom, what was it called? The bottom, the, God, I can't remember the club.
The bottom line?
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays the bottom line. I've seen him there.
He had great tone. He had great phrase. Yeah. Incredible cat.
Yeah, he's still great.
Yeah. I think he quit, though, right?
Yeah, but he's still on the planet.
Yeah, he is still on the planet, but I think he quit the saxophone.
Yes, he has.
A couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, okay, besides Sonny Rollins, and any other cats? What about Hawk, right? Lester Young, Prez.
I love the people that Sonny Rollins loves, you know, starting with Coleman Hawkins. Coleman Hawkins is the beginning of the jazz saxophone, to me, the rhythm that was contemporary saxophone. Uh-huh. And through him, all the saxophone players went through him, including Charlie Parker. And I particularly like Paul Gonsalves with the Duke Ellington band.
Great.
I had a chance to play with a few great people, Archie Shepp. I had a chance to play with
Carol. I got
to
see Archie Shepp solo. Yeah, incredible cat.
Yeah.
He was doing blues. He was singing into the saxophone these blues chants. It was beautiful. It was up in Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah, and Farrell Saunders.
Farrell, yeah. Maybe saw him 5-6 times.
Yeah.
Incredible kid. He passed away the day after John Coltrane's birthday.
That's right.
Yeah. And it was the solstice. No, equinox. Yes, equinox, I'm sorry. Equinox.
Equinox, yes.
It was an equinox. Because there's that song. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. John Coltrane, right? Equinox. Ba-da-da.
Yes.
Ba-da-da. Yeah, he... Yeah. Oh, Christ. Man, he played a lot, though. He fit in a lot of... He's only 40 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the World Saxophone Quartet, my brothers. From
oh,
World
yeah,
Saxophone.
Yeah, yeah.
Emmett Blewett and Oliver Lake and Julius Hemphill and Arthur Blythe.
Sure.
Like that. James Spalding. A lot of people came through that band, but the original band with Hemphill.
Yeah.
Was some of my favorite saxophone players. And Oliver Lake is still playing.
Yeah.
He's not playing so much, but he's still on the planet, and he's conducting his music. And we're both alive.
Really interesting about that. You know, the idea. I don't know. You say jazz, right? But in a way, I kind of think music is music. What do you think, David? Isn't genre kind of dangerous?
Well, I don't know. I study jazz, so I say jazz. A lot of people like to use great black music or black classical music. I don't know. All I know is when we were coming through the Alps one time and coming into Austria and Germany.
Yeah.
And a car window burst in at one of the tunnels, and we went to go get it fixed. We went to a Mercedes place, and it was a Sunday. And we called the number on the front of the place, and a guy. The manager, the driver who was driving us around, a German guy, Gunter, asked, he said, look, he had some quartet, the World Saxophone Quartet jazz group that was, and the guy said, oh, jazz, I love jazz. He came down and fixed the window. You know, he got out of his bed, came, fixed it for cost, you know. So, I mean, that word jazz, you know, people understand. It might have some good connotations, it might have some bad connotations. But I studied my whole life to be a jazz musician, so I'm not going to change the name now.
Yeah, of course. I'm not just the idea of music.
I love music.
Rhythm, notes, melody, harmony.
It's like Duke Ellington says, jazz is accompaniment to the world's greatest duet. A man and a woman going steady.
You know, for a while, he had two bass players.
That's right.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. He had to keep up with Sonny. His drummer.
Yeah. And I think about those basses, you know. To move them around, you know, especially airplane. Jesus.
Yeah, well, Duke Ellington's, you know, he was the only band. If the people didn't come to show up to pick him up at the airport, his whole band could travel in five taxis.
Five taxis.
Yeah, five taxis would take his whole band.
Yeah.
That's stuff you learn as a band leader.
Yeah, what about being, because you were talking about sideman, but you like band leader.
I've been a band leader all my life.
Yeah.
Even in the garage bands.
In the garage bands.
because that co-leader shit never works. That co-op band stuff never works.
Right.
For me.
No, it seems like you got to have some kind of focus, right?
Yeah, you know, that's like a football team not having a coach.
Right. And just Blige. Democracy, right?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. But
you need a field general, too.
Yeah. Or at least, somebody to point the way. What about songwriting?
I wrote a lot of songs.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of inspiration.
What's your philosophy about that?
Find a beautiful woman and write about her.
Yeah.
You'll be inspired. It's called a muse, I guess.
Yeah, beautiful. A muse.
Yeah, but you know, Yeah, but I like, you know, I like the song form. I like the fact that, you know, you can play songs that are standards. And you get tired of playing standards, and then you can write songs that are like standards. You make your own standards eventually. Once you figure out the schemes and the 8-bar passages and the bridges and the intros and the exit, the outros, you know, it's like you make a plan. A song can you'd be surprised how fast you can write a song or how slow you can write a song. Some songs come quickly, some songs are forced, some songs come out of the sky.
Beautiful, David. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. December 28, 2022, Dish and Watt Pedro Show special guest, David Murray.
Yeah.
Hold tight for hour three.
Yes.
December 28, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we're going to be playing with my new quartet at the Getty Museum on April the 4th.
Let me tell the people we just heard. We heard Flowers for Albert, the David Murray Octet. And then we heard Every Motherfucker. This is an excerpt from a cat named Ort Smog. And then Rainbows for Julie.
For Julie.
Yeah, for Julie. Yeah. David Murray's Brave New World. Trump? What's this
called? That was a trio. That was a trio.
Oh, okay. So
that was a trio.
So David Murray Brave New World Trio?
Yes.
Okay.
And I just wanted to make an announcement that I'm going to be playing at the Getty Museum. It'll be my first time bringing out my quartet with Marcia Sanchez on piano, yeah, and Luke Stewart on the bass, and Casa Overhaul on drums. We're going to come out to play the day after the opening of the exhibition of Daoud Bey and Carrie Mae Weems, who are two prominent photographers that asked me to play at the Getty on their behalf. So I'll be bringing the band out for that.
You know, David, but a friend of mine here in my town, Richard fucking Bonney, this guy put in all the toilets at that Getty. Yeah, he's a plumber, and he installed all the toilets.
Well, I'll go flush every one of them.
That place is great. I saw Hieronymus Bosch show there. Oh my God, I love the Getty Center. Yeah,
in an exhibition in Spain.
Oh, what, Prado?
Brush, yeah. Yeah, at the Prado. Yeah,
you know the first time I went there,
uh-huh,
I was staying at a hotel right next to it, and I didn't know that they call him El Bosco. Right? They don't call him Hieronymus Bosch. They call him El Bosco, like El Greco. El Bosco.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
it was quite an eye opening.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I think Picasso and all that, too. I travel. I go to museums all the time, so sometimes I play in them, sometimes I just go on my days off.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have seven of his paintings. And a lot of Goya. I mean, Prado has all kinds of stuff. It's just a great place. But I think there's seven Hieronymus Bosch. And there's no glass. You can paint it on wood. You can. It's so much different than a book.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, just something about that. Something about that.
Yes.
Sam Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
You like him?
Oh, yeah.
I saw him a couple times. Yeah.
I knew Sam Rivers very well. Yeah. I played at Studio Rippy. They asked me to play at the old Studio Rippy in January, but Dave Burrell is going to play there instead.
Okay.
And the saxophone player, I forget his name, but they're going to play a duet there in January.
Let me play this. Lovers?
Oh, Lovers, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the old quartet.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
song Lovers was written for a scene in a play.
Okay.
The play that was it was an anti-nuclear play written by Amiri Baraka that we did in New York City.
Okay.
And that song, he gave me 18 words, and they ended up being 18 songs. And this is one of the 18 words. It's called Lovers.
Okay. Then we had Mensa Mensa from Ifbawana, and after that, Morning Song.
Morning Song.
Yeah.
I wrote that song for my mother. She used to play the piano to wake us up in the morning from the hallway. And my father was a garbage man for the city of Berkeley.
Uh-huh.
He went to work at 5:30.
Sure.
So she practiced the piano between 5:30 and 7:30 when we had to wake up.
Yeah.
And she got louder and louder at 7:30. We had to wake up, so I called it. It was our wake up call for the morning.
Sure, sure. Alarm clock.
Yeah, that was my mother, Catherine.
Yeah. So you morning, but not with a U. Morning, like AM.
Yeah, morning, like.
Absolutely.
MORNING.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not mourning, it's just morning time.
And besides this gig at the Getty, what you got next planned?
We're playing at the Village Vanguard the 17th.
Oh, really? Okay.
Of January. The same group.
This quartet.
Yeah, with Marta Sanchez on piano, Luke Stewart on bass, and Casa Overall on drums. This is going to be our debut of New York City.
All Canadian cats?
No, it's New York people.
Oh, they are? Okay.
I'm just in Canada for the holidays. I don't live here.
Oh, okay.
I live in New York.
Manhattan.
What do you think? I would never. It's too cold.
Yeah. Yeah,
snow everywhere.
Can you imagine? No, southern Canada is like the north part. God, and there was just a big freeze, right?
Yeah, it just snowed 5 inches overnight.
And now, 5 inches, Jesus. Mm. Now, but you're raised in Berkeley, NorCal.
Yes.
East Bay.
I'm Berkeley.
And Southern California, yeah, spoiled California people.
Yeah, I love California. My brother lives in SoCal.
Really? What part?
SoCal.
Yeah.
Right next to Santa Cruz.
Oh, Cruz.
Santa Cruz. It's called SoCal. It's right next door to Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz. Oh, wow.
Santa Cruz, right on the ocean, you know?
Yeah, of course.
The
nickname Surf
the Sea Lions.
Surf City.
Surf City, yeah.
They had a war with Huntington Beach over who could call themselves Surf City. And there's this,
I don't know.
Here's this place in Santa Cruz called it's a pier, and all these sea lions.
I was there a few weeks ago.
Okay,
I go there all the time.
You know, yeah.
My brother lives not far.
Great place. A little cooler. We're 400 miles south, so.
I guess you are.
Different. Yeah, a little different. But still California.
I can't beat the bear, you know.
And what about the quartet? Are you going to record?
Yeah, we are. So as soon as some record company comes to me with a great idea.
Does that still happen?
Yes, it does. That's why I did the last trio.
Yeah, but it seems like record companies...
I need a quartet right away.
David, it seems like record companies have died.
Yeah, well, I'm not dead.
No, not you, but the idea of the record company. It seems people put out their own music now on the Bandcamp and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not going that way. I mean, I've done over 200 records, so I know the record business pretty well.
Jesus.
But But I'm not gonna make my own record sales. The record companies, they have to hone up and have to become real record companies and not be distributors.
Good point. Good point. Good point. And advice to young musicians.
Practice. Practice while you're young, because when you have kids, they go your practice hours.
Practice. John Coltrane and Eric Dolphy, right? They like did 10-hour prax.
Sonny Rollins.
Sonny Rollins, too, under the bridge, right?
Under the bridge, in his house, wherever. So but, you have to study. You have to practice by yourself, and then you have to practice with the band. And you have to do both. You have to have experience on the bandstand and practice alone.
Yes, sir.
And just a publishing.
I really thank you for being on the show. It's a big honor to have you aboard. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. It was fun for me. And okay. I'd like to send the show to us so we can hear it.
Yeah, in about 2 hours, I will send a link and you can listen to it.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Love you, David.
Thank you for the call. All right. Yes, I love you, too. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, brother. December 28, 2022. White from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.